What's up, guys, and welcome to another episode of The Torrent, a podcast giving you discussions on music, movies, TV, and video games. I'm your host, Nick, and I'm joined, as always, by Alan and Matt. What's up, guys?
Hey, Nick, how's it going? Excited to talk about Star Wars again. It's been a while, so, you know, looking forward to that.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Still have not watched another Star Wars movie, so not bad on that. I'll have to get on that, but
yeah,
it'll be a good episode.
Yeah. Lots of Star Wars chatter that we can throw in. So.
I guess you can make some comparisons to Black Panther to Star Wars, I suppose.
I mean, we don't need to. I just feel like we always talk about Star Wars.
Yeah.
I feel like if you can do that, you could do it to anything.
For sure.
Right? Yeah. For sure. I mean, superhero movies, you know, that's not too far from Star Wars. So.
Star Wars kind of is a superhero movie.
Yeah.
It kind of is.
Kind of is.
All right, so on today's episode, we're talking Black Panther, and we're going to give some first impressions on Monster Hunter. So before we do that, we're going to jump into the weekly download. You guys ready?
Yep.
This week's weekly download is brought to you by Technical Difficulties. Do you have an amateur podcast that you try to record every week, but do you frequently have to restart your computer and start recording over and over again before you have some computer crashes?
You know what? You guys stood me up. It was like 9:30 by the time you guys got home. What happened to 8 o'clock? My computer was probably burning all that energy up.
We have been planning the time. We were within like 15 minutes when we actually played.
For those of you who don't know, we record same time every week. We're trying to record a podcast. Matt's computer crashes like 3 times. Not a big deal at all. But we're going to pick on you anyways.
Yeah. But we're doing it finally, and hopefully this one goes smooth. So.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh.
It's going to crash right now. Oh my gosh.
It won't. You're good.
Yeah, we got
all right. So first up on the list, Kung Fury. Did you guys watch Kung Fury on YouTube a while back? I think it was like last year, the year before it came out. It's like a 80s throwback action flick. Did you guys check this out?
Actually, Nick, I think I watched it with you.
Oh, we might have. We might have watched it. Yeah,
I thought we did. I liked it. It was. After a while, I was kind of like, all right, this is ridiculous.
Well, it's supposed to be, it's supposed to be a ridiculous thing, like over-the-top action. Yeah. Alan, have you had a chance to check this out?
I don't think I've actually seen it, no.
Okay. Well, apparently they're making a feature-length film with Michael Fassbender's star in the leading role. I think it's going to be a sequel to the YouTube film, which is weird because if you're trying to introduce a new property to the audience, I think you'd want to start fresh, but... It's weird that they're jumping right into a sequel.
I think that whole theme of a movie is a pretty cool idea and like unique. I think it'll get some good hits.
Yeah, for sure. Next on the list. All right, this is a big topic here. 13 Reasons Why. It's been out on Netflix for quite a while. Alan, I watched it when it first came out. Alan, you finally had a chance to see the whole show.
I did.
Why don't you run us through that a little bit? Give us your likes and dislikes. Give us your score, and we'll talk about it for a little bit.
Yeah, so 13 Reasons Why, for those of you who might not have heard of it, is about a girl who commits suicide, and she leaves behind these 13 tapes that are, each tape is for a specific person, and each person has a reason, is a reason why she killed herself. And so it goes through this whole story of this one kid who now has these tapes, listening through these tapes and finding out, you know, all these different things about the experience that she went through leading up to the day of her suicide and how these people affected her and brought her to this point. And it's very heavy. I mean, as you can imagine, a topic like this is something that really hits you hard and pretty serious thing. And I think they did a really interesting job with it. I don't want to say good because there has been a lot of criticism about it.
Yep.
Some people say that it kind of can glorify suicide a little bit.
For sure.
And I can see a bit of that just because, you know, when you're watching and you're listening to her talk, you're really seeing a lot of vengeance that she's feeling in these tapes where she's like, you know, I killed myself, but it's your guys' fault. And like, I'm getting you back by exposing you and kind of making you feel bad. And so just a whole aspect of it where it sort of glorifies it a little bit and kind of doesn't put it in as negative of a light as you expect it to be in. But it still does that for a good portion of the show. So
I think it was really good in how it reveals the entire story. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like going from person to person and seeing like a little piece of the puzzle, and then each episode you get a little bit more of the puzzle. And yeah, to your point, Alan, I think this did almost a disservice to like suicide prevention. I think they kind of glossed over the whole mental health issue aspect of suicides. Right. There's a lot of studies that show people who are very suicidal have a lot of like a lot of depression and a lot of mental health issues that kind of factor into their choice, and to only blame it on to certain
like
people.
High school drama.
Yeah, high school drama. Granted, there is some extreme you know, like there cases of rape and stuff that are going on within this, and that's a good cause. But you know, for you understand why the main character went that way. But a lot of the depression issues and how your mental state kind of changes wasn't really touched on at all, and I didn't think it was necessarily fair, especially for, you know, spoilers for 13 Reasons Why. Like, I don't think the main character, the guy, I forget his name now, but
Clay.
Like Clay. Yeah, thank you. He didn't really do anything. So for him to get a tape, I thought it was very unfair to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Go ahead.
I was saying, the one thing I did like, though, and I think was an important thing they touched on, was she definitely had times where she reached out for help and didn't quite get it.
Yep.
And I think that was a really important note to take away, is that, you know, if you are going through shit like this and it is something that's on your mind and you're struggling, reaching out and talking to somebody is one of the best things you can do.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they have these suicide prevention hotlines, and they have all this stuff where, you know, if you can find somebody to talk it out with and just kind of get what you're feeling out, you know, rather than looking for a solution or looking for a way out of it, just talking about it and getting your thoughts vocalized and your worries vocalized can just go a long way in just helping you. So
for sure. We'll that was a good note. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Next on the list, Call of Duty WW2. The directors and founders of Sledgehammer Games left the company. Now, this isn't new. This is kind of a history repeating itself. We saw the same thing happen when I think the founders and directors of the Call of Duty Modern Warfare franchise, I think it was Infinity War. No, not Infinity War. Infinity something. Or
Age of Ultron?
No, I'm sorry. What's the gaming company? Infinity Ward. That's what it was.
Infinity Ward.
Ward. Yeah. I knew it was something like that. But they left Call of Duty a while back.
Oh, okay.
To get out of the Call of Duty space. So this seems like history is repeating itself a little bit. I don't know. What do you guys think of this news?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like this always happens in the gaming industry. Mm-hmm. Like, then they'll go and create, like, a rival game or something similar to that. And it'll probably be pretty good, and it'll, like, divide people a little bit. But to me, that's not really a big deal. I think that's – I almost think it's kind of cool, and it's just something that just naturally happens and occurs.
I think it's just pieces moving around the board, just playing the game.
Yeah, I'm excited. I would like to see, like – I don't know. I like Call of Duty a lot, but there are some things that I don't really like, so – it'd be cool to see that new take on it a little bit.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I think Call of Duty's been doing pretty well since they took over, you know, with Call of Duty WW2 and all the games that are upcoming. It'll be interesting to see where the franchise goes from here. So,
yeah, I agree. Sounds good.
Next, going back to our Star Wars discussion. Disney and Lucasfilm and everyone associated with Star Wars is looking to, rumor has it, that they're looking to back out of their contract with EA after this whole microtransaction fiasco.
Yes.
And trying to get their Star Wars games developed by somebody else. Now, Activision and Sledgehammer Games has been rumored So maybe we could get another Call of Duty type of Star Wars game instead of more of the DICE side. You get more of the Activision Call of Duty side. I know Rob Keyes from ScreenRant.com suggested he would like to see Project Red take over Star Wars games. They're known for doing the Witcher games. They've had a ton of, customer satisfaction has been through the roof with that company in terms of what they deliver. So what are you guys' thoughts?
Yeah, obviously I'm very happy about this. You know, if you listen to any other podcast where we talk about this kind of stuff, I do not like EA. I do not like the microtransactions. I like what they did with the new Star Wars game. So I'm happy to hear this. And I think I really like the rumor of Activision because this is a company that knows how to do a lot of different types of games.
Yeah.
You know, they did the MMOs. They've done StarCraft, which is an RTS. They've even done Hearthstone, which is completely different style game with the kind of card collecting type of game. And they're definitely a company that could do games and do them well and can be versatile with something like this. So.
Cool.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be awesome. I was not really upset about the whole microtransaction thing, but the more I talk about it and more Alan is like super vocal about it and other people I hear are vocal about it, I would like to see Activision. That would be cool.
Cool. What about a developer like Project Red or something different, something not first-person shooter related?
That would be interesting. I would totally take a chance on it. The Witcher is so good. I don't like single-player games, really, so I don't play it much. But that, I mean, I think that's how new genres and good new games and stuff are made, is when something out of the ordinary happens like that. And I would really support that.
Sure. I know Visceral Games was developing a like action-adventure type, like Uncharted-style game that got recently canceled, but... but yeah, if there's a game like that, I think, you know, at least me personally, I'd be super interested in wanting to play something like that. So,
yeah, I agree. I think that would be neat. Maybe some cool, like a new genre type thing coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. Moving on to some music picks.
Yes.
Yeah.
The first one, I'm just really excited about this song. It's called The Hamptons by Trans Violet. So catchy. I listen to it every day, sometimes multiple times to work. Sometimes multiple times from work. So
really?
Okay.
I almost bought the album, which is pretty good. But Trans Violet is pretty cool. They're like electronic, catchy, cool, kind of underground. It's good. Really like that song. It's very catchy.
Is this like their big hit?
I think so. They have another one featuring some rapper who's not super well known, so you guys probably never heard of him, but it's pretty cool. Their album is called Kaleidoscopes, I think, and it's very cool. They have a really great sound. And I'm pretty sure The Hamptons is their most famous song. So
cool.
Yeah. That was my pick.
Nice.
Next couple picks were mine. First one is a song called My Shit by A Boogie with the Hoodie.
Who's just, awesome name.
Yeah, I love saying the name of that artist. Little more of an emerging rapper. Not as well known as some of like the big names. So threw him on there. Just kind of give him a little bit of a plug. Oh, yeah. And the song itself is really good too. It's pretty well known. It's gotten pretty popular, so just a good listen. And then my second pick for the country fans, a bit of an oldie by Kip Moore called Dirt Road. Just a cute song about basically going to heaven, and he only wants to go if there's a dirt road there. You know, the pastor's talking about everything being fancy and shiny and golden. And he's just saying, you know, I don't want to go unless there's a nice dirt road, you know, a nice country vibe to heaven. So it's kind of a cute little song about enjoying the simpler things in life.
Yeah. Nice.
That's admirable. no, I like songs that are kind of have messages like that. That's cool. That's important.
Yeah. next up, I had Jackie and Wilson by Hozier. Most people know Hozier from his big single he had out called Take Me to Church. Came out a while back. This is Jackie and Wilson is my favorite song off his feature length album. It's a great song, laid back song, as are all his songs. Speaking of which, Hozier, if you're listening to this, where's the new music, man? Your album came out like 2015 or something like that. Like, we're sitting here waiting. Come out with a new feature length album. We want to hear more from you because your songs are great.
I know he's listening to this right now.
Yeah.
We're reaching that many people now, Hozier. So we know you're listening.
No, me and Hozier have been in contact, and he's ready to drop a bomb soon.
Oh, okay. Don't worry about it. Yeah. All right, cool. Look for it on new releases on Spotify next Friday. New music Friday. All right, what do we got next, guys?
Wait, the last song.
Yeah.
Sushi and Wine by Liam Beck. Nice. I don't know why I love this song. It's so catchy. It's just like really upbeat. Sushi and Wine, just look it up. Nice. No matter what type of music you are, just look it up.
Cool.
That's just a great combo, you know, in general. So
yeah, sushi and wine. I love going to dinner, getting some sushi and wait, is that?
I didn't even think about that.
Is that not what we're talking about?
No, that's what I was. Yeah, I was saying.
I thought we were reviewing different types of sushi and also different types of wine with it.
Yeah,
this is a food podcast, right?
I like some tuna. Some ahi tuna with some nice Riesling, a dry Riesling.
Oh, okay. I prefer like cheap red wine with tuna fish on Ritz crackers.
So ooh.
That's the same thing.
Pro tip, instead of mayonnaise, use ranch dressing on your tuna fish.
Oh, wow, Nick. Getting that bougie tuna fish.
Apologies to Liam Back for completely destroying your song.
He's psyched we mentioned it. He was like, man, I wonder if my song is going to hit the Torrent podcast this week. We'll see. He's pumped. You're welcome.
As always, you can find us at The Torrent Pod on Twitter and Facebook and thetorrentpodcast@gmail.com. Send us your listener emails. Give us some feedback. If there's a topic you want us to cover, let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
Nick, can we stylize? I'm sorry to interrupt. Can we stylize The Torrent Podcast by calling it Torpod?
The Torpod, TPP, or TTP.
Hashtag Torpod.
The Torpod.
Hashtag TPP. I feel like that would catch on.
Yeah, hashtag TPP, the Torpod. Twitter, Facebook. All right, moving on to the main topic here. Black Panther.
Yep.
Matt still hasn't had an opportunity to check this out because he's always slacking. That's fine.
You know what, you guys? I'm getting real sick of this. I think my computer's about to crash again.
Later. Well, we don't really need you for this part, so that's fine.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, man.
Just kidding, man. We love you. All right. So starting off, Alan, give us your first impressions of Black Panther as you've seen it.
So the soundtrack is great.
Yep.
Goes perfect with the movie.
I thought the soundtrack actually was better within the movie than it was listening to it separately.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Yeah.
They did this really cool thing where like they transitioned from one scene to another scene and then a song from the soundtrack would kick in and it had this cool like trap beat behind it and it got you excited for what came next, you know?
Yeah. No, they did do a good job with it.
Yeah.
And the movie itself was just, you know, pretty impressive. I wouldn't say it was phenomenal, but I would say it was great, enjoyable to watch. And I think there was just some really good storytelling that went on and some really good funny aspects that they brought in, some really serious aspects that they brought in. I found myself getting a little emotional during it with certain things. And I think they had some really cool themes in it. Were there any like kind of big themes that you picked out that you wanted to touch on, Nick?
You know, just the most obvious ones, you know, with I thought it was interesting how the villain really challenged, you know, Killmonger really challenged T'Challa to kind of rethink his whole situation because Killmonger, spoilers for Black Panther, by the way, guys, Killmonger was kind of left by Wakanda to kind of be raised in America, in Oakland, and kind of come up as a an average American black man. And he kind of really challenged T'Challa to say, hey, listen, you guys got all this power. You guys got all this technology. Why aren't you sharing this with the world? And of course, Killmonger was wrong in how he wanted to do that. But it really made T'Challa think and go, you know what, we're just being isolationists. We're sitting in our castle up here and we're just kind of sitting on all this wealth. Why not use that to help other people around the world? So I thought that was a really good message that if you have the ability to change the world around you, then you should do it, you know?
Yeah. And what I really liked too is just how they kind of brought in some of the aspects of family into it. You know, the kind of parallel stories that you had with the fathers, you know, one father who kind of betrayed and went a certain route, and another father who almost did something kind of similar, but went a route that led him to power. And so they both kind of had their flaws, even though they were had very different lifestyles. And you could see how it affected the two sons in very different ways. And so
right.
it was kind of an interesting way that they brought in just lineage and how that can really play a big role in these people's lives. So,
by the way, how badass was T'Challa's dad in the opening scene? His like the old Black Panther suit where he's got like the sash.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
Like, gold. It's like black and gold. Dude, that looks so badass.
That was really cool.
That was so badass.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the different tribes? So there was 5 tribes in the movie, and each kind of had its own flair and its own. They all had different uniforms, and they all had their different style and color palette. What'd you think about each tribe? They were kind of sweet.
Yeah, I thought they were really interesting. Yeah. And they almost like they had their own kind of themes too, where there was like the merchants, and there was guys that were like more warriors and stuff, and they it was very kind of cool and segregated, almost like they had different classes of people and stuff that they separated into.
Yeah, and they each had, because of their vibranium technology, they each had their own abilities. Like the guys with the blue sashes, they were like the border tribe, and they had like the giant shields that came out from their cloaks. And then there was they worship the white gorilla Umbaku's clan, and they were just like super strong, and they had these giant like clubs and stuff that they would hit you with.
Yeah
It was cool, man.
Yeah, it was really neat, and I thought it was really interesting. I always think it's kind of a cool aspect to throw in with the whole ceremonial combat that they would do.
Yes,
it's such an interesting thing, because you never think about in the olden days when power was more about who was strongest and who was the better fighter. And it really takes you back to a time where, people that were in power because they were strong, physically strong. And it's a very different world than today's world, where, you're in power because maybe you're slightly more intelligent, or you know how to read people or work people. And it's not so much about the physical strength.
For sure.
But I mean, it's still a cool aspect or a cool idea to think about, being mentally in tune and also physically in tune, and making it is what kind of makes you a good leader, is both your body and your mind. So
yeah, for sure, man.
Nick, I know you've been, so, and this is new to me, but you've been saying how like superhero movies are, there's like sub genres. So it's like a superhero movie, but it's also I don't know, like a crime thriller or like a romance or kind of thing.
Yep.
Would you say there was like a subgenre of Black Panther kind of?
Yeah, I mean, I think straight up just cultural film. You know what I mean? I think there's a direct political message in this. There's a giant shot across the bow to Trump in this movie, I think. While we're on the politics issue, I guess, Alan, how did you feel about how they handled all the politics? I was a little worried that it was going to be too in your face, too on the nose, to the point where it was going to take me out of the movie. I thought they did a really good job and handled this with grace, and they did it in a way that made sense to the story, served the story very well, but also give the audience a proper message as to kind of where they stood politically.
Yeah. I completely agree with you. I think they kind of nailed it, where they didn't put it too much in your face, but they really got a good message across. And it was well done, well executed.
Nice. Did you get any
sorry,
go ahead.
Did you have any criticisms of the movie at all?
I did. I thought, it's a typical superhero origin story. So like in terms of where the story was going to go, you kind of knew like, T'Challa's going to win in the end, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to regain his throne. But other than that, I did think that some of the CGI was a little weak, particularly the end fight scene when he's fighting with Killmonger in the train. Yeah. That was, I thought the CGI got a little sloppy. You couldn't really tell who was who. You couldn't really tell what was going on. And there was a couple instances where the CGI was just a little muddled. I think they could have used maybe a little more time. But other than that, costume design, everything else, story was great. I liked it.
Cool. Yeah, my one thing, I guess, was I tend to like superhero movies that are focused more on the superpowers. So when you get into I love the X-Men series for that exact reason, because you get to see all these cool little unique abilities that everyone has. And, some of the first X-Men movies were just really heavy focused on, look at Cyclops, look at Storm, look at the abilities that they have. And it's kind of fun and magical in that kind of a way. This one was a little bit more just laid back off of that, which I think is fine. You can right. have a movie like that, but just not quite my cup of tea. I like to see the ones where it's a little more show-offy of, you know, this person has something unique and special, and I didn't feel okay. as much with this one. So.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Did you get shades of the Lion King in this movie? I got
yeah, a little bit.
I got massive Lion King shades.
I like mean, a, like what?
Like when okay, he goes so, to the astral plane and he like sees his father, it made me think of like Simba seeing Mufasa in the stars and stuff. Like I had very much that feel. And,
I mean, you can break it down almost character to character. I mean, T'Challa is Simba.
Mm-hmm.
The CIA agent Ross. Martin Short's or Martin, yeah, Martin Short's character, the CIA agent who helps him out, yeah. the only the one white guy.
It's not Martin Short. It's the guy who plays Bilbo Baggins in the new Hobbit.
Yes,
Martin Freeman.
Martin Freeman.
Martin Freeman. That's Martin Freeman. What
it was. Yeah. Yes, I get all the Martins confused. He's yeah. Timon, straight up. M'Baku's Pumbaa. Yep. Who else? Oh, Zuri is Rafiki. You know what I mean?
That's yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker's character.
Who's Scar?
Killmonger, for sure. He has
Is
to.
It?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
else?
So, okay. Yeah. Cool. All right.
Cool. So, how many
bottles? Yeah.
How many I was going to ask you how many bottles I mean.
I'm going to give this a 4 out of 5 bottles of mead.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely enjoyable watch. Just to recap real quick, just an enjoyable yeah. watch for me. I would put it on the better half of the Marvel films for sure. Me personally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So 4 out of 5. How about you?
Nice. I'm going to go ahead and give it a 3.5 out of 5. Cool. So, you know, same thing as you. I think it was definitely in the better half of Marvel movies. I'm just knocking it 0.5 point from what you gave it because like I said before, I like the ones where you get a little more of the superpowers.
Sure.
Kind of built into the story. So not exactly what I was hoping for, but still really great, awesome yep. story. So definitely worth seeing.
Nice. So a combined official Torrent Podcast review, 3.75 out of 5. Yeah. Thank yeah. you, aggregate of scars.
Yeah.
Nice. Matt, do we sway? Are you going to go see this movie anytime soon? Or
I totally will. It's just so hard to get tickets right now. Yeah. Like there are so many theaters outside of DC. And every single one is just gets booked. Probably yeah. not now, but I was busy this weekend.
This is a huge movie. Yeah. I mean, it made over $200 million the first weekend. I think it's making close to over another 100 or something, like 70 million to 100 million this weekend in its second weekend, which is crazy. I think it's a ridiculous movie. It's crushing the box office right now. So
yeah, I'll totally go see it.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, next.
All right.
We're going to get into some... Here we go. We're going to get some first impressions of Monster Hunter World. Alan kind of convinced us to buy this game on a whim. Matt, I think me and you were kind of in the same boat. We were really sold on getting this game. We thought... we weren't sure what to think on this video game. It was a $60 game. We've never played a Monster Hunter game before, but we knew about the franchise. I guess I'll start us off. I was not really sold in the first hour of this game. Graphically, the game was cool. I think story-wise, they threw a lot at you. They threw a lot of screens you had to read. We watched the honest trailer for this game and it really says like when you're not hunting monsters it's like doing your taxes, like and that's so true. Like it was just there's a lot of context thrown out at you. You have to learn all the mechanics, how the game works, and then we finally got to the point where we started hunting monsters and it was awesome.
I mean So one of the things I think I like about this game, and the part that also just like when we were just like, this is so awesome, is that there are 14 different weapons.
Yes.
And the play styles with those different weapons are so different. And all of us are playing different weapons. So it's like basically like a different, the gameplay mechanics for us are completely different.
Yeah.
So once I was like testing out all these different weapons, I was just like, this is going to be so freaking cool.
Hell yeah.
Dude, when I was doing, I picked the weapon where it's the sword that turns, or sword and shield that turns into a giant axe. And it is just like the most incredible thing to play with, because you literally just, at one point you're fighting with just this little sword and you're like kind of hiding behind your shield and fighting this monster. And then you just whip out this giant axe. And just, it's just like such a cool idea to like throw into a game. I'd never seen that
for before. Sure.
I agree. I will admit, like, similar to how Nick was feeling in the very beginning, my experience and just like understanding of what this game is that it was super Asian and like very anime and like really over the top and really, and more importantly, it was very inaccessible because it's so
dense,
like, esoteric, and just like people can't, like, you can't just pick it up. Like, people who love this game know this game and they know everything about it, but it's not accessible.
Mm-hmm.
This game I've heard is way more accessible, way just like really cool console version of Monster Hunter. So I love it so far. I'm kind of bummed it's so late, so we can't play it tonight. But
yeah, you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
That is true. I could dabble after this.
Yeah. But for real though, like just play, like being able to do multiplayer with you guys and going on these crazy hunts where you fight some pretty ridiculous monsters and the fighting just being so different from monster to monster and how you have to approach it. And it's almost like playing a game of chess with the monster when you're fighting it, trying to learn its weaknesses and exploit them and stuff. It's just fun. Once you get through all that nitty gritty of, okay, how do I play this game and actually start playing the real bulk of it? Man, it's addicting.
I think we got a good strat going though. Like, Matt is the distance guy, the range guy. Alan's the heavy, just comes in, just wallops it. I'm poking and prodding it and trying to get on its back anytime. I think we got a good squad going on right now.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I think about that. We do have some good archetypes there. I'm trying to talk other people into getting this game too, so we can have a 4-person squad. But so anyone listening out there,
yeah, message us. You can play with us.
The Torpod squad.
Yeah.
Specifically, if your name is Reed, that would be great.
Yes, yeah, we're calling you out.
Calling you out.
Yeah, Reed. What the heck, Reed? Oh man, where have you been? Anyway.
Any criticism so far? We're not that far into the game. We haven't even got through all the base monsters yet. From what I hear, we got some awesome monsters ahead of us, some new armor sets that we haven't even seen yet. Any criticism so far?
My biggest criticism is how weird it is to party up with people.
Yes.
Like normally on PlayStation Network and in everything now, basically PlayStation Network, Steam, and I'm sure Xbox is the same. You just like, you have your friends and you get into a party or whatever they call it. And then you get into a game and then you can join each other's game. This one is just, it's bizarre because you can join each other's game, but you can't see each other in the world unless you go out on a mission. Right.
Right.
And sometimes you go to post a mission. It's like, you're not that far in the story yet. You can't join, even though we are all in the same part. It's like we have to start it separately.
Yeah. That's
that was the biggest thing for me where I was just like, this is insane that this is still happening right now. Like this is the one thing in video games that they've nailed. And it's just weird that this game didn't get it like that.
I agree 100%. It shouldn't be that difficult to get with your friends to play this game. You shouldn't have to start a mission, get to a certain point, back out of the mission, then all group up. And then go back in to finish the mission. It shouldn't be that hard. It should be, you know, like they have that gathering hub, like that ship you can go up into. It should be just a matter of like, all right, we're going to join the same party. We're going to get in this gathering hub. We're going to go to the bulletin board or whatever. We're going to click a mission and we're going to go hunt this guy. Like, it should be that easy, and it's not. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the good thing though is that that's just specific to the actual storyline. It seems like if you want to go out and just hunt some monsters or do some of the daily quests or whatever, or I forget what they call them, they're like events or something like that.
Yeah,
but do we know?
Sorry, the arena is like that too. Oh, I agree with you.
Yeah, that's all super easy and fluid, and like you can just join up, go and do that, and be done with it. But it'd be a little bit better if we could get through the story together too, full co-op, without having to constantly drop in and out of parties. So
yeah. Should we rate the game now, or should we kind of wait till we're a little farther? Should we give our official
I almost think we should wait.
Okay, yeah, I agree.
I don't know. We haven't done too much, I think, yet.
Yeah, yeah. This is just a first impression, you know, just what we think of it. So
tip of the iceberg right now, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. So far, I just think it's awesome, and there's so much potential. And I want to, like, switch to a different ranged weapon just because I want to see what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think one of my criticisms of first impression is how complex it is, but I think that's going to be something that I'm going to enjoy later on because it's going to make the game feel like it has more depth and I won't get bored of it as easily. So I kind of like that there's a lot of, you know, skill trees that you have to go into or different types of armor that you have to figure out what it's good and bad for. I think that's going to be more fun as I get more used to the game. So
sure. Yeah. Cool. All right, guys. Any final thoughts before we end the episode?
Nope.
Cool. Next episode, we're going to be talking about music apps and music consumption. We're going to talk, kind of break down, you know, how we listen to music over the years, how we're listening to music now, what are some of the alternative ways to listen to music besides the big guns like Pandora or Spotify. There's other websites out there that I think people are utilizing, and we're going to break those down. We're also going to talk about some the media at which we listen to music on. So do you guys remember like mini disc players and CDs?
Yeah, way back when.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about vinyls coming back. We got a whole list of stuff, that's what we're going to be talking about next time. So look forward to that. This has been an episode of The Torrent. We'll see you next time. Well, that's it for this episode of The Torrent. Thank you all for listening. Download, rate, and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast service. If you want to get in contact with us, feel free to send us an email, thetorrentpodcast@gmail.com. You can also get in touch with us on Facebook and Twitter @TheTorrentPod. We'll see you guys next time.